You are listening to Swimming World Radio, produced in conjunction with the World Championship Sports Network, who is broadcasting video of the 2007 World Championships through their website at WCSN.com. I'm your host, Brent Rutemeller, broadcasting from Melbourne, Australia. Let's listen to the interviews.
I'm here tonight with John Collins, head coach of the women's team for United States. And John, I understand that this whole process of being in the World Championships involved getting people here from the NCAAs, everybody coming at different times. When did you finally all meet together?
We, with the girls team especially, we all met together on the 13th of this month in either in Los Angeles or San Francisco, took separate flights over to Sydney, and we met in Sydney Airport and flew down to Melbourne, and we got in, of course, it was the 15th of March at that point. And we spent about eight days in Geelong, which is a suburb of Melbourne, about an hour's ride from here, and had a very productive training camp. It was a great setup. Stayed on the waterfront in Geelong, and we had access to a two 50-meter pools, which were side by side as a training center. And we also had a short course meter pool in the mornings, and some of the people took advantage of that as well. So it was pretty ideal. It went very well. It's a great, I mean, both the men and the women's team is very experienced.
Well, let's just talk about that for a second. How many swimmers came on the trip?
19 girls, and there's 19 boys on the swimmers on the team. The NCAA championships were such, they had moved them back. Only four boys came about 4 or 5 days later.
Yeah, because it was one of the first times when mostly a pro team. The only four of those athletes were NCAA, and then the rest were totally pro. And that's been very unusual. How about on the women's side? What was the ratio there?
It was somewhat like that. There's the NCAA girls were basically, I think, two Cal girls, two Arizona girls, and maybe one or two other. Layla Vaziri is from Indiana, and maybe six girls out of the 19 were NCAA people. And the rest of them were either professionals professionals.
They're pro swimmers now.
Well, you have 14-year-old Elizabeth Beisel, which is she's the youngster on the team.
Okay. Well, she's got some decisions to make, I guess. Now let's look at we're here day two, and it really started with the open water swims.
They were here a little bit earlier than us, and they trained separately than we did down here in Melbourne, and they started their meet before ours. And the only thing that was, they had that truncated 25K for the girls on Saturday, and then finished it up on Sunday, and Kaylin was second in that, which was a big boost for our team, and to have a medalist in the open water swim.
So yesterday was a long day, a lot happening. Today's a quick day, and then we're in the process of the semifinal finals. Give the overview of what was going on the very first day, the tone of the team, and some things that really kind of were some highlights.
Well, number one, this meet is the biggest meet the World Championships they've ever had. In numbers of swimmers, and in numbers of countries involved, which I guess from FINA's standpoint is a great. They think that's tremendous, and in many ways it is to see all these different countries represented. But that translated to from our standpoint was that 20 heats in the men's 50-meter butterfly, 19 heats of 400 freestyles between the men and the women, and a real long trials session, which didn't end. We didn't get back from the meet started at 10 o'clock in the morning. Some of us didn't get back till 3:30 in the afternoon, and that's tough for a world championship meet to have to go through that type of that length. However. The team conducted themselves very well. They're experienced. They're veterans. They kept their wits about them. They're a smart bunch, and they kept calm, cool, and collected, and had some great swims.
Let's talk about those swims. With the first day, those relays, those 400 free relays, are really important. And those girls, before they swim their hearts out, they set was it an American record?
It was an American record. We had. They had great swims. I mean, we qualified first in the morning, and we knew the Australians didn't put their best team forward, and with their two with Libby Lenton and Jody Henry held in reserve, and at nighttime with an Australian crowd, we knew they'd be pumped up. And we had Natalie lead off with 54-1, and had a great swim out of Lacey Niemeyer, and she was 53-5. And Amanda Weir had another great swim and put us in a lead, 54 flat. We had a 6/10 lead going into that anchor leg, and it was Carolyn Joyce against Jody Henry in the end. And Carolyn held her off, and I thought she was going to. We thought we were going to win the thing, and came down to the last final 2 or 3 strokes, and Jody got her hand in, and we lost by 0.2.
0.2 of a second. Well, that was an exciting relay.
Men were they want to, they weren't seriously threatened, I don't think. I mean, they got had a great leg with Michael going 48-4 lead off and put him in the lead solidly, and they just extended the lead. You had Cullen Jones, and you had Neil Walker, and a tremendous anchor leg by Jason Lezak.
Well, and Michael Phelps' leadoff, that was the third fastest in history.
Really? Yeah, well, that sure helps when you have someone who does that.
Yeah. Well, that whole, the relay is big in the United States. It's big anywhere, but it really catches fire when you see the men do that. Did that carry over into today?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I think we had a real solid second day on the girls' side. You had the breaststrokers, and you had Tara Kirk and Jessica Hardy, who are through to the final tomorrow night. Tara was first again, two good swims, a personal best tonight, so we're happy about that. Lurking in the shadows, of course, is Liesl Jones, and everyone's waiting to see if she's going to, when she's going to pull the trigger. But we're hoping that we can maybe beat her to the punch.
Well, let's go back to yesterday still. A lot of our listeners don't really realize that there is a series of three swims for some of these swimmers.
Yes.
Katie Hoff had to go through the prelims, the semifinals, and the finals of the 200 IM. But prior to that, she has a prelim and final of the 400 free.
Yeah.
How as a coach, how do you prepare someone for those three levels, and is there some strategy involved?
Katie's very well coached at North Baltimore with Paul Yetter, and they had been planning this nearly impossible double for quite some time. She pulled it off last summer at our Nationals, where she went 2:11 in the IM and came back 20 minutes later or so and went 4:05 plus in the 400 free. So that gave him some reason to believe that they could do it again. And it's a little bit different doing it here on the world stage. And yeah, she had to go at 200 IM in the morning, at 200 IM at night. 18 and a half minutes after that semifinal 200 IM, she had the final of the 400 freestyle. She was up on the blocks for the 400 freestyle. She qualified eighth. She was in lane eight. And most people would think of that as an impossible double, that, you know, she's not going to be able to put together much of a second race. But lo and behold, she did. And she'd been thinking about this. And she's a very focused young lady. And she went 4:05 low, got fourth, and almost was third, and with a personal best time. So it was a fantastic effort on her part.
Yeah, with a personal best time. And then she comes back today and swims the 200 IM and just misses the world record.
Just misses the world record. She was on pace. She was ahead of the world record at the 150, had a great breaststroke leg of 37.10, and just needed a few more tenths on that freestyle, and she would have broken that. It's about a 10-year-old world record, yes.
Well, we hope to see much more out of her as the meet goes on. But let's talk a little bit about Natalie Coughlin. Natalie had the backstrokes and the fly. Any comments on some of her races?
She tonight's fly was very encouraging. She had swum the prelims in the fly. It was 58.3. And then came to the semifinal last night. It was 58.1. Got beat by the Dutch girl. And was basically in, I think, fifth place in the final, and Rachel Comerzar was like sixth. They were in lane six, lane seven, and we were hoping that we would see Natalie do something, have some kind of a drop. And lo and behold, she took the bull by the horns and went out in 26.4, had the lead at the 50, came off that 50 wall, and was pulling away until the last 25 when the Aussie girl started to reel her in. And didn't have a greatest of finishes, came in a little bit long, and then tried to get in with another stroke. Maybe she could have kicked in. Tremendous 57.3, a new American record, which is great. But both Australians touched her out by a tenth and a tenth.
Well, Natalie's such a seasoned athlete. I'm sure she's computing this, figuring out how now to line it up for the Olympics.
Hopefully so. She's got a little bit closer than the Olympics is the 100 backstroke, which is tomorrow night. And she qualified fourth or fifth tonight in the 100. She's a little bit tired, I think, but she was, you know, she's well within her range. She's going to be fresh for the 100 back tomorrow night. She faces some very stiff challenges, particularly by Laurie Manadou, the French girl.
Well, Laurie, the current world record holder in the 400 free. Is,
that's her.
Yeah, so touching on the distance swimming, Kate Ziegler. She had some great swims in the 1500. When's that 1500 going to take off for the final?
1500 finals tomorrow night, and we have Kate Ziegler, and had a great swim out of Haley Pearsall, who's first with a 16.02.
Well, I was going to get to Haley. Okay. Let's talk about her right now.
Tremendous morning swim. I mean,
I think we need to double check this, but I think that was the fastest prelim ever in the 1500.
Well, you'd know better than I would.
So with Haley seated first and Kate Ziegler seated third, you got to be feeling pretty good about the 1500.
Yeah, we had tremendous swims out of them. The thing about the mile is that some of the girls, European girls, or there's a Japanese girl in there too, you don't know how hard they push themselves. And it's tough to go two hard miles in consecutive days. So once again, I'll mention Laurie Manadou, who's in there, who's the fifth, I think, with the 16.12. Who's going for another one of those strange doubles, 100 back, 1500 tomorrow. And she's a world record holder in the 400 free, and you would think that she'll be a big factor in this mile.
Yeah, and watching Laura Manadou swim the race, she just attacks it from the beginning. She just basically says, catch me when you can, and I'm off. Now the 1500 is a whole different strategy.
It's going to be a tremendous race, and I think that she's not going to be able to get away quite as easily from Haley and Kate, and if they can bulldog her and stay close enough, we'll see what happens at the end.
So looking at the dynamics between the men and the women's team, the men seem to be really solid across the board. Ian Crocker swam the 50 fly tonight. It's not his specialty. It's just get up and go. He plays second. And then Michael Phelps had some outstanding swims in his races. But you got to kind of look on the horizon. When you put it all together, it's going to be quite a 200 free race. You got Michael Phelps, you got Hoagie, and then you also have the young Park gentleman from Korea, who just, if you look how he turns on that kick that last 50, if he's in the hunt coming off that turn, it's going to be something special to watch.
Well, you're right. I think the 200 free is a little bit short for him, but between Peter and Michael, it's going to be a heck of a race.
And then some of the other races we're going to look forward to on the men's side. Well, Brandon Henson tonight took the breaststroke.
Two guys under a minute, and a tremendous two-person race between him and the Japanese Kitajima, and 59.80 to 59.9, and 100 backstroke semifinal tonight with Aaron Pearsall is third. Ryan Lochte is first, yeah.
Well, we have a lot more women coming down the pipe here as we go forward. What kind of races do you think we should be looking forward to?
Well, I think we got a lot more Katie Huff in the tank, 200 free tomorrow, 400 a.m. We have some exciting relays coming up. I mean, we would have loved to have won that sprint relay. We had them on the ropes, and so it's not exactly a rematch, but the 4x200 relay is coming up, and I think if I know the girls right, we're going to be out for blood.
Well, it'll be something to look forward to. I appreciate it, and thanks for stopping by and talking to Swimming World Radio.
Anytime. Anytime, Brent.